This brings us now, though, to a very important juncture. He introduces to us a vile person, and that vile person was Antiochus Epiphanes, who was king of Syria, and easily identified in history. Now, this is the prophetic picture that is given to us, and it was fulfilled in Antiochus. And here is one of those little horns that's already been fulfilled, the one that we had back in chapter 8, you will recall. Verse 21, and I'm reading now, "And in his estate shall stand up a vile person," that's the way he's described, "to whom they shall not give the honor of the kingdom, but he shall come in peaceably and obtain the kingdom by flatteries." Now, this section is concerned with only one king primarily, and this is this man, Antiochus Epiphanes. I think most fundamental interpreters and expositors of Scripture consider this section to be a direct reference to Antiochus Epiphanes. I so treat it myself, by the way. And it does give a little picture, a type of Antichrist that is to come. But we're going to come to him a little bit later here. Now, Antiochus Epiphanes, he came to the throne in 175 B.C. He's called vile because of his blasphemies. He came to the throne with a program of peace. And that's just the way that Antichrist is going to come to power. He'll introduce the Great Tribulation with 3.5 years of peace, and the world will think they're entering the millennium, but they're really entering the Great Tribulation period. Now, Antiochus was a deceiver, and he was a flatterer. Beware of that type. May I say to you that we don't need that type of minister today. That is the thing I think has hurt the church as much as anything. We need men that are not going to be deceivers and flatterers and butter up folk, but stand in the pulpit and tell it like it is. And unfortunately, they're getting few and far between today. But thank God there are still a great many of them about. Now, verses 22 through 24, and I'm going to read these. "And with the arms of a flood shall they be overflown from before him, and shall be broken, yea, also the prince of the covenant. And after the league made with him, he shall work deceitfully. For he shall come up, and shall become strong with a small people. He shall enter peaceably, even upon the fattest places of the province. And he shall do that which his fathers have not done, nor his fathers' fathers. He shall scatter among them the prey and spoil and riches. Yea, and he shall forecast his devices against the strongholds even for a time." Now, the prince of the covenant evidently was Onias the third, the high priest. He was deposed and murdered at this time by the deceitful devices of Antiochus when he came to power. And now let me keep reading here, verse 25 through 28. "He shall stir up his power and his courage against the king of the south with a great army, and the king of the south shall be stirred up to battle with a very great and mighty army, and he shall not stand, for they shall forecast devices against him. Yea, they that feed or the portion of his meat shall destroy him, and his army shall overflow, and many shall fall down slain. And both these kings' heart shall be to do mischief, and they shall speak lies at one table, but it shall not prosper. For yet the end shall be at the time appointed. Then shall he return into his land with great riches, and his heart shall be against the holy covenant, and he shall do exploits and return to his own land." Now, these verses describe the campaign of Antiochus and his victory over the king of Egypt, which brought him much riches and prestige. And when it says they shall speak lies at one table, verse 27, it shows that he's an unreliable liar. It also reveals that the conference table of that day would be very much like the conference tables today, where nations meet. treatise become a scrap of paper, and they become perfectly meaningless.